Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, Block Talk Radio Nation? It is Sunday night, and you are tuned into Upon Further Review. I am LeVar, and we've got quite a good game. It's in the closing minutes that we will update you on in regards to the NCAA tournament bracket. But joining me right now, I don't know if it's on location or wherever
she's at. Vehicle, I'm driving against the law.
Yes, that is the voice of my lovely co-host, Katie, who is with us. And I will tell you right now, I know she is on location, but it is less than a minute to go. Cincinnati 54, Florida State 50. We will keep you updated. The clock is stopped at 47 seconds. So don't know what's going to end with that one. But while we're waiting for that, and I'll break. Yes, and we'll break back in when it does end, and I'll let you know. But I think the only word I can use to describe this opening weekend of the NCAA tournament is battered and bruised. How's your bracket looking?
I just can't even believe what's happened this first week. I'm not happy. Katie's not happy.
Well, things went fine on Thursday. Yeah, and then it was Friday when everything kind of fell off the wheels kind of fell off, so to speak. And I remember telling you on Thursday night that I could see something happening on Friday because it was just too quiet.
But yeah, and everything was going according to plan. It didn't make any sense.
No, it did not. But I'm going to ask you, though, with this opening week now in the books, to you, what was the biggest upset? Or what was the biggest upset? Now, I'm going to give you a couple of choices here. Was it Norfolk State over Missouri? Was it Lehigh over Duke? Or was it, say, I don't really think it was an upset. But would you say, too, was it Ohio over Michigan? Or was it USF over Temple?
Well, I did pick Michigan over Ohio, and I did pick Temple over USF, but I went back and forth on that game several times. I even talked to you about it, but I went back to Temple. I think it was Mizzou. I think they have so much hype. I mean, yeah, Duke, I picked him in the three rounds, and yeah, I picked Mizzou, and you picked him even further than I did, but I think it was Mizzou. I think that I can't trust nobody from Missouri. I don't even know.
Yeah, so I agree with that, and I'm kind of going to say Lehigh over Duke, because I think Duke, even though Duke was, I don't like using the words overrated, but
they are, regardless.
I think this was one of those years, though, where Duke was, I want to say, not ready for prime time. They looked that way in the first few weeks of the season, but then they kind of faltered down toward the stretch, you know, lost to the ACC tournament, lost a couple of conference games in the end. But to lose to Lehigh, who knew about?
We didn't even know what they came from.
Yeah, and to lose to Lehigh, I count that as a big one. But Lehigh
lost today, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, if there's a tie, I would say I agree with you, Norfolk and Missouri and Lehigh, Duke. But, yeah, I was thinking Duke, for all of what's expected of Duke, Coach K, you would have thought he would have planned better for Lehigh, but I guess my other question to you about this tournament is, well, I guess it's not fair to ask a question yet. I'm kind of, as you can see, I'm kind of stalling here because I'm waiting for this other game to end, and like I said, we'll kind of.
I've got Florida State so far in my world because I love Florida State, and if they lose this game, I have lost one of my Final Fours, just like you've lost one of yours. But I've been banking
on
my Final Fours.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to give the score away because right now, let's just say it's still close. It's about 28 seconds and counting, according to at least the ticker that I have on ESPN. But while we're waiting, I will give some of the other scores and updates on this day, well, throughout the weekend. Of course, it was NC State beating Georgetown. That was kind of a shocker.
That's garbage, too. I'm not even going to complain about that, but I didn't like that either.
Yeah. Michigan State rolling on, but it was a close game against St. Louis, 65-61.
I was very nervous.
Yeah, I think quite a few people were, especially when the ones that had Michigan State going all the way. And then North Carolina over Creighton, 87-73. Florida beating Norfolk State. We all knew that was going to happen,
84-50. 34 points.
And how about Ohio beating USF 62-56 and advancing? Who would have picked Ohio back at the beginning of that
game? I definitely watched all of that game, and Ohio was amazing. I was definitely surprised at the game that they brought, and it was great.
Well, Ohio going on, and then Xavier over Lehigh, 70-58. Kansas beat Purdue. But I was shocked about how close the Kansas-Purdue game was, 63-60.
I was shocked as well, but I watched all that game, too.
Yeah. And, and then, of course, the other games throughout this weekend, Syracuse winning, Ohio State moving on, Marquette moving on as well, and then you also had other winners being Wisconsin, Indiana, Kentucky, Baylor, and Louisville. And right now, still awaiting the final to Cincinnati, Florida State. We will get you that final as soon as it comes. The clock is ticking down. Less than 25 seconds to go in that one. I will not give away a score. I want my co-host
just
to be safe
me.
On her way back.
I'm home. I'm home.
Yeah. But I will tell you that also there was beginning action in the women's tournament among some of the seeds winning in that one. Was number one Baylor. Notre Dame also winning Duke, Delaware, Florida, Kansas. They also won theirs. 23 seconds left from Nashville. Cincinnati on top of Florida State, 58-52. So it does look like Cincinnati's going to on. I don't think at points like that that they're going to make their way back. So sadly, it looks like our bracket over in the East is going to now get a total makeover. And the only thing for me I can say is that my final two out of the four is still on, but I'm probably going to lose two out of final four here, so that's ticking down, and I have a feeling that that's probably going to stand. And while we're waiting for official confirmation on that, I will tell you in NASCAR action today, it was Brad Keselowski winning the Sprint Cup Series at Bristol, Matt Kenseth finishing second, Mark Truex finishing third. I think Katie's going to actually
I'm turning on the TV right now. I'm tripping.
Yeah, so you're going to close out the final second. Also on the scoreboard tonight, all the NBA games are done. Utah over the Lakers, 103-99. Oakland, Oklahoma City, over Portland, 111-95. It was Atlanta over Cleveland, 103-87. The Clippers beating Detroit in overtime, 87-83. It was Sacramento over Minnesota. Memphis beating Washington, 97-92. It was Miami beating Orlando in a battle of Florida, 91-81. And Phoenix over Houston, 99-86. In men's tennis, it was Roger Federer beating John Isner, 7-6-6-3 to take the ATP BNP Paribas Open. And the women's half of that, Victoria Azarenka beat Maria Sharapova, 6-2-6-3. And in NHL action this evening, it was the Blackhawks over Washington, 5-2. Philadelphia stopping Pittsburgh's 12-game winning streak, 3-2 in overtime. Columbus over Calgary, 2-1. Phoenix beating Edmonton, 3-2. Nashville over Anaheim, 3-1. And Carolina over Winnipeg, 4-3. And because Katie loves it so much, in soccer action, it was Chelsea over Leicester, 5-2.
Hey.
Liverpool beating Stoke, 2-1.
But that Chelsea team was pretty nice the other day.
Sure, nice.
I even brought it up.
Katie, you brought up soccer, which I'm proud of you. I know you're learning. I
know about soccer, it's just
fan.
Like hockey, but it's dull.
But we're being kind to soccer. And, of course, right now, The only thing in regards to the Peyton Manning situation, which, as you can tell, I'm lively kind of burning time here until the Cincinnati-Florida State game is over. Peyton Manning has worked out with the 49ers, and I know for Alex Smith that now means that he could be without a home unless it is in Miami. Supposedly, according to ESPN sources, it was Alex Smith talking with Miami for over 5 hours on Sunday, and chances are you could see a switch in a seismic shift in the way that the 49ers are, especially as a last-minute team who just last week, Katie and I were saying it was Denver, and
Denver.
It looked like Denver
Arizona.
Or, Arizona. So what happened there?
I don't know. I still got my banks on Denver. I think that he would be a great fit there. I think that he has a lot of idle situation happening in Denver, I think. I just don't think he should go anywhere else. But then again, I'm not Peyton Manning, and I don't get to make his decisions. But I think it'd be a lot smarter for him to go there. 4 points? This is ridiculous.
So Cincinnati tried to hold on against Florida State. Don't you love live radio? We were hoping that these games would be over by the time we would get to you at 11 o'clock Central time. But got to love the late Sunday night action. And if people were going, it's 11:11, so you can make a wish here if you're in the Central Standard Time Zone. But if you're looking to go to work tomorrow, you tell your boss you stayed up late to watch all the games and it's confusing.
Someone basketball kept you up, yeah. Well, that's garbage. That was not off Florida State, but whatever. Yay! Back to Florida State.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah. And so we are definitely still kind of holding on here. And we're also going to be talking NFL and also NBA here in a second. But while we are waiting on that finish, I will tell you, looking at some of the brackets this week too, should Cincinnati hold on and make its way into the Sweet 16? Based off of all the teams that you've seen now that are in the Sweet 16, who do you think that would go? I mean, who left the pool all the way, in your own opinion?
Well, quite frankly, I would really hope that North Carolina would make it all the way because you and I both know that we have picked them to win the entire thing. But I've got a lot riding on Baylor.
Actually, plus for UK, I think UK will do it. Well, 3 seconds, I think, is left in that game, isn't it? 60-56, so I don't think that there's a comeback here unless somebody shoots a three and gets fouled. And I don't know if Florida State has the ball, so I'm pretty much inking in Cincinnati.
You think they'll beat Syracuse or Wisconsin? I got Wisconsin in the next round.
You know what, though? Out of that round, over in that bracket, now I see 61-56, yeah, it's just about all the fouling and game over. But I actually had Florida State going all the way, and I had Florida State and Vanderbilt in that East Final. And with Vanderbilt losing to Wisconsin, that now shakes a lot of things up in terms of, I'll put it this way, my West and East brackets are pretty much shot.
My West is pretty crap. My South is awful.
Yeah, so pretty much at that point, I think for anybody, they know that probably their South bracket shot, their West bracket got shot. The Midwest pretty much could have been just a couple of slight changes, but I still think that, and that's now a final, 62-56, Cincinnati over Florida State. So Florida State, their season is done.
Done.
So there goes one of our final four teams.
Yep.
And I will say with Florida State's loss, that now officially knocks out my East Final of Florida State and Vanderbilt. So,
well, you're out.
Yeah.
15.
Yeah. Well, no. I have Kentucky versus North Carolina with Kentucky winning it all. So my final is still alive. I still got two out of Final Four left. So.
Sure. You've got your last two left. Yep.
I went for the short
thing. Florida State's out for me.
So now I'm going to ask you, now that everything is now finalized, two among the 16 teams left is the biggest surprise.
A surprise? Well, I didn't pick any surprises. I didn't pick any surprises. All my people are gone that I thought we should have won. One, I thought I didn't pick NC State over San Diego State, and they won, but then lost to Georgetown, and Georgetown lost. So I don't – that doesn't make any sense to me. But you always said don't bank on Georgetown, and I did, so there's my problem. That Vandy-Wisconsin game was pretty good, but I still pick Wisconsin. I still pick Wisconsin over Syracuse, so I'm not surprised. I picked Kentucky to beat whoever the heck came out of Indiana, Wichita State, and it didn't matter to me, and Kentucky's still in it. I didn't care who won out of Duke and Lehigh because I still picked Baylor, and Baylor's still in it. I picked Michigan State over whoever the heck came out of Memphis, St. Louis. They're still in it. I picked them over whoever came out of New Mexico and Louisville. Louisville came on. I still got New Mexico winning. And the only surprise is that Mizzou game that we talked about. I picked Mizzou to lose to Marquette, and that's my only game that's not still in it.
I've got to say, though, after all of this, who would have thought once again that an Indiana team who goes kind of buried in the Big Ten this year, because when you think about it, you know, everybody was talking Ohio State, Michigan State, and, you know, everyone that mentioned Wisconsin, but not as much as Ohio State and even Michigan this year. Michigan in their breakout season. Nobody talked about Indiana.
No.
And now here you have an Indiana team in the Sweet 16.
Well, I mean, my brother-in-law, Dan, is very much in love with any team that comes out of Indiana, and he's a big Hoosier fan, and he's been telling me all season long that these guys, and of course I'm going to say no. I don't care about Indiana or any team from the Big Ten for that matter, which is awful for me coming from the state of Illinois, but he had all the hopes in the world, and here they are, Sweet 16.
No, Sweet
I suppose
16,
that's
Indiana
the problem, I didn't pick them.
So the matchups are now set later this week. You've got Kentucky versus Indiana in the Sweet 16, Baylor versus Xavier, as the people say it, Michigan State against Louisville, Marquette against Florida, Kansas against North Carolina State, which should be a pretty interesting matchup and a pretty good game. North Carolina versus Ohio. And then you've got Ohio State now versus Cincinnati. How about, you know, going back to Cincinnati, how about the job that's being done there by Bob Huggins, I believe, bringing them to Sweet 16. And then you've got Wisconsin-Syracuse, which I think will be an even more interesting game because here you've got a defensive-minded guru and O'Ryan going up against Jim Boeheim and Syracuse. And Syracuse, who should be really out of it after not having Fab Melo for this tournament. You think Wisconsin has a chance to make it to the Elite Eight?
I think they have as much chance of just like NC State does or Louisville does. I mean, I think that any team at this point, everything is a crapshoot at this point in my bracket. I don't think anybody that was seated above where I thought they would has more of a chance than anybody else. It's a one game, you win, toss up kind of thing. Anybody's got a chance.
And I just think that it's wild that when you've got, you know, some of the squads from, when you think about in years past, some of the strong squads, especially Florida, I don't think too many people thought that Billy Donovan would do the job that he's done with this Florida squad, because back then, you know, you had Noah, you had a couple of other guys who were, you know, nationally known players, but you've got pretty much a team of really no one there who nobody knows about, and he's got them back in the Sweet 16. And Marquette, every year they seem to make it this far. You know,
well,
so
they
always
seem to be good, but nobody ever seems to care.
And I think when you look at this now, this Sweet 16, out of the result out of every coach in here, all of them are pretty much well-known, except maybe that coach from Ohio.
Yeah.
You know, all the others are big-time college coaches who we expect to be there. Some are there with newer teams. I mean, just the fact that I saw today, you know, Rick Majerus and what he did with St. Louis, you know, you always think back to the Utah days and, you know, he's done it again with St. Louis. So
he almost did. They made me get nervous there for a minute.
I think so, but I think with all these great games in these first couple of rounds, I think you're going to see even better games and even bigger games here in these next two rounds. So it will be a pretty big week ahead, I think, for college basketball. But do you see any upsets in here?
In this round?
Sweet 16.
I mean, I think Cincinnati has more of a chance of beating Wisconsin, like, than any other team that I think is in here. I don't think NC State's going to beat UNC. I just don't think that. I don't think that Florida is going to beat, you know, Marquette. I don't think that. I don't think any other team that I've picked, I don't think Xavier's going to beat Baylor. I don't think Indy's going to beat Kentucky. I don't think that, but who cares what I think? Half the things I've thought this season are not to be true. So my opinion at this point is, I don't know.
You can pretty much rip up your bracket.
I love Louisville, but I really hope they don't beat Michigan State. You know, like I went with my intuitions and not with my gut. I don't know.
We will leave that to be known throughout the week. But I want to walk away from that real quick, and I want to talk NFL this week, because with the opening of free agency this week, you and I, we're both local fans here of the Chicago team, but what to you this week made the biggest news in terms of signing? Who pretty much made a signing that's going to bolster its playoff chances?
I don't even know where to begin with that. There was so much that was happening that we were discussing throughout the week that I think that the money that they gave to Megatron was ridiculous. But to keep him in Detroit makes it pretty good for the Lions. But that was just one deal. You know, I don't know how you can fork over that much money for one player and think that that's going to do it for you.
Yeah.
We talked about the Bears. People are signing a couple, but I don't think anybody is that far in front of anybody else in terms of making it a better lookout for their playoffs. I mean, you can't think about who's going to get hurt. You can't think about, you know.
I think there's a tie this week. In my own opinion, though, two teams that did a lot. One that did something that we don't know how it's going to work, but another one I think that's actually, and you're going to laugh, but I think that bolstered its chances for a return to the playoffs. Of course, we talked about the Bears signing Brandon Marshall, and they also signed a couple other pieces in place, and they went out, and, you know, they got, you know, a pretty reliable or a good backup quarterback.
Yeah.
And finally, you know, you kind of get that, you know, well-known backup quarterback, not some guy who was third string for Iowa State and
right.
is a flash in the pan, you know.
Right.
And the Bears made some pretty good moves, special teams in there. Now let's see what they do in the draft. But
yeah, I hope
I think
continue.
But laugh at me here if I'm wrong. But I think the Buffalo Bills made a change here that's going to turn – their franchise around.
Okay.
I think that with the signing of Mario Williams, it's like everybody there is so excited. And it's bolstered, you know, and plus they re-signed the wide receiver, Stevie Johnson. They've
mm-hmm.
got it on offense. They've got, you know, that defensive, they got that one threat, you know, on defense now. You've got your pass rusher and the guy who's going to be the big man on campus. I think if they add in a couple other small pieces to help him out, I think the Bills finally get back in the playoffs.
Well, they were pretty good last season, but they just kind of blew it. And of late, I wasn't really sure why, but as of right now, I still think the Bears have them beat with their offseason signings. But I can see where you're coming from. I can see where if one or two more people get on that Bills team, they could make it to the playoffs and lose again, I'm sure.
And remember, the Bills did beat the Patriots last year. So,
one time, yep.
If you beat the Patriots, I think that's one good step in the right direction. So, I think the Bills will make a change here. And now, I'm really quick, because we've only got about 5 minutes left to go. A couple of quick things here, NBA, before I get to your list of top five teams this week. But word out of ESPN late this evening is that the Houston Rockets are going to buy out the contract of Derek Fisher, who they just acquired.
Huh.
Do you think that Derek Fisher could wind up in Chicago? You say he wants to play for a contender.
I think it's a lot more probable than him saying there.
Well, now I'm going to give you another question. Is it a good fit? Is it a good fit?
Is it a good fit? No. I do not think so. But with Derrick Rose being injured so darn much right now, I think that somebody like a Fisher would be good for the Bulls in this situation. Not that C.J. Watson can't do it. Not that... fit when Derrick Rose is injured. But when it comes down to it, I think two star guards, I don't think that that works.
So there's a lot of different things. And plus, you got to remember, too, Derek Fisher is 37 years old. I think he has one more year left on that contract, which is about $3.4 million. Not sure if the Bulls are going to be all willing to, unless they can kind of restructure that last deal. Plus, I think their history with getting people at the tail end of their career, I don't know if it's worked out that well. Think Rick Allison, think Ben Wallace, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff there that's just not fitting. But did you actually have a top five this week or the rankings of where the top five teams actually stand?
It's hard for me to pick top five because, I mean, you know how much I'm a Bulls fan and you know how much I hate the Heat. And I wish, no offense to the Bulls, but I wish the Knicks were doing a little better than I thought they'd be doing. I think the Thunder are great. It's unfortunate that I don't think the Mavericks are doing as great as they would be, and I don't care too much for the Spurs. So I'm stuck in the East, and I just want the Bulls to win it all.
Well, actually, I think the Bulls are the top team in the NBA, at least according to my expert now. I think after that, then you say Miami, then you say Oklahoma City, then you say San Antonio, and then I know this is going to be a stretch, but you have to put the Lakers in there as well. I mean, they won five in a row. So, pretty much you have to like that. So,
we don't have to like it, if it's the truth.
with a couple of minutes left here in the show. See how quick 30 minutes goes by?
Quickly.
So, no Katie's Corner for this week, but I did want to do one quick thing here. And, in the final shot this week, this is about a young lady who, if my computer doesn't freeze up on me, I can actually tell you, but she actually did something that not too many people do. Naomi Lee, who is a 12-year-old seventh grader at Menlo Park, California, who's a fairly decent young golfer, she proved this week without a shadow of a doubt that she's got a future. She recorded two aces in the same round on Pebble Beach's nine-hole golf course. The Golf Digest is tracking... Yeah, the Golf Digest has tracked the number of two ace rounds in the total for all time, 150. So Lisa, who obviously is the youngest female to close the deal, has done it at a rare feat of 67 million to one.
Wow.
So congratulations to her.
Yeah. As much as I don't care for golf, that's pretty great. Almost a dollar soccer to me, but that's pretty interesting. That's pretty cool.
He's 12 years old. Not too many of us can say we can do that at 12 years old. So
I probably couldn't even turn a golf club at 12, let alone hole in one it.
Yeah, twice.
Twice, so, on Pebble Beach, twice. For all that matter. Not just like the course in the backyard.
No, not a course in the backyard. But we've got less than a minute. Any shout-outs you got this week?
I don't have any this week. I was just, before I was almost going to be missing the show, the first few minutes, I had a buddy of mine from hometown coming in town. I don't think he's going to listen to the show, but my buddy Chad, who had just recently been engaged to one of my good friends, Amber. So we were watching the hoops at the Cosmopolitan down here. Free food, free drinks. It was pretty nice.
Free is always good.
Yeah, that's what I
got to
say.
Well, I know now where we can do our show on the road. We're going to do it there as well. But that will make for an interesting show. Well, like Lock on the Wall has told us, we are out of time for this Sunday night. Katie and I will be back next weekend for more of Upon Further Review. And, yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. See you next
week. Have a good night.